At 6:50.
Expecting us to be quiet.
We'll do roll call. Supervisors Rodriguez, Bashaw, Belsky, and Nordigan are here. Supervisors Decker, Franco, and Wambolt are excused. Any citizens' comments tonight? Seeing none, we'll close that. Supervisor comments. Any supervisor comments? Supervisors Stock. Nudo, anything? Nope.
I offered her an orange top.
I have no comments other than next month will be our downtown facility at the same time. Approval of the minutes from June 1st.
Motion.
Motion by Supervisor Belsky, second by Supervisor Nordigan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. First thing, resolution from the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department. A resolution to appoint Brooks Litz to serve as a member of the local emergency management, or emergency planning committee, excuse me.
Motion to approve.
He's going to talk.
Presentation first.
Good evening. Sergeant Chris Hanna, the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department, Division of Emergency Management. The county executive appointment of Brooks Litz to serve as a 3-year term as a member of the local emergency planning committee to succeed Mr. Rick Dodge under the community group number 4. The Judiciary and Law Committee has reviewed the request and the approval of the appointment above named to serve as the committee is recommending county board. Are there any questions?
Moving forward, this rule set some time ago that might have just forgotten with the new board. This is a new appointment. In the past, we always had new appointments come to the committee, introduce themselves, reappointments. We didn't require that. So with Mr. Litz, it's not an issue tonight, but should there be any future appointments in the future, if they are new, you can just make sure those applicants know to come, introduce themselves.
Yes.
Thank you. And again, congratulations.
Yes, congratulations. Yes.
Thank you.
Any discussion?
It will be exciting.
Seeing none, is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Belsky, second by Supervisor Nordigan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next, we've got resolution to approve the 2022 Womar Foundation grant.
This is a resolution the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department was awarded a $1,500 grant from the Walmart Foundation to assist the discharge planner with buying supplies that are needed for inmates that are being discharged. The supplies will buy, for example, clothing, snacks, etc. This resolution requires no funds from the general fund. It increases revenue by $1,500 and increases expenditures by $1,500.
Any questions? Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion second. By Supervisor Nordigan, second by Supervisor Bashaw. All those in favor say aye.
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 It's a presentation and review of the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department take-home squad policy.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
My name is Lieutenant Brian Easter, Kenosha County Sheriff's Department, Administration Division. So, just a slight review of our take-home squad policy. It was implemented back in 2018-2019. Currently, what we have is 87 total marked squads in our fleet. Out of those 87 marked squads, 63 of those are issued to patrol deputies. Some of those live in and out of the county. One of the big issues with our take-home squad policy was the public safety aspect of it. Squads in driveways, squads in neighborhoods, whether it be in the county or surrounding areas. It's a prime deterrent. Neighborhoods usually like to see that parked in their neighborhoods. Another issue was for squad longevity. There's less wear and tear in squads, less mileage that's accrued over the lifespan. So usually squads will last the department longer, thus costing us less money. Another big aspect of it was quick responses to emergency page outs. So a lot of times when we have weather related or personnel shortage issues, what used to happen was that squads would have to, or when personnel were called in, they would have to report down to the public safety building regardless of where they lived. So, you know, the typical response time could be, you know, 30 minutes to an hour before they came out of the PSP, grabbed the squad, and then responded back out to the county to get a know, into their respective area. Nowadays, that's kind of alleviated. You know, everybody that has a take-home squad is able to go directly from their house to wherever the problem is, wherever the personnel shortage is. So that's thus reduced a lot of our response times. It's also, I would say, a recruitment incentive. When we are trying to, obviously, everybody in today's day and age is trying to retain people. You know, employee retention is a big thing, especially in law enforcement. So when we're trying to compete with, you know, several different agencies, surrounding agencies, I'd say that's a pretty good recruitment incentive, having a take-home squad program. Also, squads stay in their designated area longer. This is just something I remember even back from being in patrol days, is when you're on patrol and you had a general fleet car, you know, you would have to leave your area a good 20 minutes prior to your shift to come down to the building, turn in your squad. So now everybody that has a take-home squad, they have to stay in their area until it's the end of their shift, and then they can leave and report home. So you got squads on the road longer. So I think that's kind of just our take-home policy in a nutshell. You guys have any specific questions you were?
So I spoke with some of the deputies, and they said, and I'm just going through this quickly, like a few of the deputies told me that if they have a take-home squad, it stays in the driveway, it can't be parked on the street. There's things like that, you know, at the end of their shift, they have to bring their weapons in. Can you just kind of go over?
Absolutely, yep, it's in our policy. So what the instructions that the deputies are given when they are issued a squad is that if it is not going to be garage kept in a locked garage, they have to bring in their AEDs, they have to bring in their squad rifle, they have to secure those items in their home. That also includes the Narcan, because obviously in the wintertime that stuff can freeze. So each deputy is told that if it's going to be kept in their driveway, all those items, obviously that way you don't want somebody breaking in your squad and taking all that squad equipment, is required to be brought in. So yeah, that is an effect.
And there's no street parking?
Absolutely not. Unless it's in our policy, it says there is no street parking unless it's approved by a supervisor. So say if somebody's having their driveway redone,
right,
and they have to, and that would be up to the supervisor at the time if they wanted to choose to say, yeah, you can park it on the street, or they could also say, you know what, since you're having your driveway done and you're going to be parked on the street for several days, maybe you should just be leaving your car here and then just report the building to pick up your squad until your driveway is done, type of thing. It's kind of given that discretion is given to the supervisor.
And if, what kind of disciplinary action, if any, is, you know, like I'm reading through here, it talks about the vehicle keys. A deputy misplaces a key, loses a key. Those are usually several hundred dollars. I get accidents happen, but at the same time, you know.
Right, no, absolutely. Everybody's responsible for their own equipment. Disciplinary action can vary from something as small as a training reference and something that just goes into their file. And you're right, some of these key fobs are a couple hundred bucks a pop. To be honest with you, since we have implemented the F-150s and so all the Explorers that we have currently don't have key fobs, we only started getting key fobs with the newer trucks.
Okay.
And to date, that has not happened. Everybody has been responsible with it. At least to my knowledge, I have no knowledge of anybody losing a key fob and us having to replace a key fob. However, if that were to happen, it's also stated out in the policy, it falls under our equipment. They're required to report it to their supervisor immediately, and it'll be up to the supervisor to determine what kind of disciplinary action. And it kind of goes back to the fact of their discipline history also within the department. You know, do they have a long list of disciplinary items to where maybe something more severe would be an outcome versus if they're a stellar employee and they just happen to, like you said, lose their key fob, then it may be something small as a training reference or something verbal that just goes in their file and stays in their file for a period of time.
And every deputy who receives a take-home squad acknowledges this policy, correct?
Absolutely. They're all, so prior to my current position, I was actually in the position that issued out the squads. And during that, I kind of give this exact spiel, you know, that if it's not garage cut, you have to bring in your rifle, your AED, Narcan. You have to still do squad inspections, because that's another thing. I mean, and that's another great thing about the take-home policy is that you have that accountability now. With the general fleet, sometimes, you know, damage would be found to squads, and trying to go back into the log to see how many, but you never really knew how long that damage existed.
Right.
Whereas now, we actually take photos of our squads before they're issued to somebody, and when they're turned in, we have a file, a shared file that all the supervisors have access to, So there's so actually...
It's like renting a car from Enterprise. So.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah, the accountability has gone up, in my opinion, tremendously since the Take-Home Squad program has been implemented.
Any questions?
Go ahead.
So if a neighbor says, hey, can you park the car? You can park the car over here while your driveway is being... You wouldn't allow that?
We'd have to take that on a case-by-case basis. I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know.
I know that would be a very minute.
You're right, but I don't know if we would want a squad car parked in somebody else's driveway. Because if they're the target of some kind of anti-police rhetoric, obviously we probably wouldn't want to bring that on a member of the public.
Yeah.
So in that instance, it's not that specific circumstance is not spelled out in the policy.
You can't cover them all.
Exactly. I mean, it would to cover every instance would be crazy, but I would err on the side of caution and say just park it.
So if when the a deputy was on vacation, would they leave it in their driveway, or would you rather it be back at the station house?
It depends. If they're going to be on an extended vacation for a couple of weeks.
Two weeks.
I mean, at that point, you may as well just leave your squad at the building. This is what we tell our people. We'll bring it back to the building so that we have access to it.
That's what I'm...
Yes.
I know it says you still need access to it if it's sitting there, but they're 10 miles away, you really don't have access.
Right. And that's just it. And that's also a case-by-case basis. Sometimes, let's face it, you know, you got guys that'll go out of town for a week in Florida or wherever. And do they always turn in their car? No, but their supervisors know that they are going to be out of town. The squad has to be in a place at their residence where it's easily accessible. That whether it be a code on the garage that's given to us, and we can just run in there, grab it if need be. So
have the outcomes met the expected policy? Have the outcomes met the policy expectations?
I believe so, yes. I mean, I actually reached out to our fleet department too, just to kind of see if what they were seeing is something, because I know part of, like you said, or like I was mentioning, the accountability aspect of it, mileage. So I did reach out to our fleet department, and let me just get back to this part here. Joint Services Fleet, they did say that they are seeing less wear and tear on vehicles that are issued out to individual members. Less mileage accrual is another big thing versus cars that were in the general fleet that were subject to being, that are going out on first, second, and third shift. That's not to say that there's not a lot of deputies that work first shift but also sign up for overtime shifts, so you know, they accrue miles as well. But there's definitely less wear and tear, less mechanical write-ups, less electrical IT type write-ups for cars that are issued to individuals. I asked if there was a noticeable decrease in fuel consumption for take-home squads. He wasn't able to answer that question. He didn't have that information yet. We're in the process of just, you know, we have obviously a couple different places to fuel up, so he couldn't gather that information prior to this meeting.
What are those locations? I know we've got the downtown location.
Yep, we've got the downtown PSB, we've got the gas pumps out at 45 and 50 at the county center, and then we have a Quick Trip account too, that each squad has a Quick Trip card.
Okay. That stays in that squad?
That stays in that squad, it belongs to that squad, it's identified with that squad number, and that is used basically, like I said, you know, you got guys that are at their house and they need to report to directly to the county and they can't come down and fuel up, so they need to stop at a Quick Trip just to fuel up their squad, they're able to. It's supposed to be used as kind of a backup. Guys are told that their primary should be the gas pumps at either the PSB or 45 and 50, because that's what fleet uses when they enter their mileage to kind of maintain that maintenance schedule.
Okay. And then when an officer, a deputy has a vehicle at home and then gets a call in, are they required to be in? They cannot deny coming in because they have the squad there? Or is there certain circumstances where that would be allowed, as opposed to calling someone in, they got to come in down, you know, and they have to check everything out, put it into the vehicle, and get going, as opposed to being ready to go, right?
Well, I just want to make sure I understand your question correctly. So, like, if a page goes out, or we have a personnel shortage, we have, you know, an abundance of calls going on, and a page goes out saying we need, you know, five deputies right now.
Right.
We usually, the circumstance and how that protocol works is, you know, the guys with the take-home cars would call in, and even if they didn't have a take-home car, they could call in. But yeah, they would call in and say, I'm available, and then we would just tell them, okay, go straight to this area, this is where you're needed. So yeah, they could just report directly to the area. They would have all the equipment that they already need.
Right, but I'm just trying to, let's use the riots as a, everyone is probably called in.
Yeah.
So when it is all call, however that is, it is expected everyone is going to be in regardless. I understand there may be some just coming off and they could be.
Right. So
tired.
Yes, exactly. So obviously if they were just got off a 16-hour shift, we would not expect them to come back right away unless it's safe to do so. Same thing with, and I kind of tell people this when, you know, they're issued their take-home squad. I understand, you know, KSD isn't life. You know, everybody has a life outside of their employment. So if they're, if they were drinking and they called in and said, hey, I'm at a party, I'm intoxicated, I can't, obviously we would not force somebody to come in that circumstance. So yeah, there are caveats to that. I mean, they're not, but under normal circumstances, if they're just at home and they have a take-home squad, yes, they are expected to respond to those calls because that's one of, that was one of my spiels when we give these take-home squads is that you are expected that if you have a take-home cards, it's one of the perks of the job is having this take-home squad, but you are also expected when we need you to come in and answer that call.
And it seemed like squads were being like a third every year would be turned over. So it looked like there's about every 3 years, a squad, three, maybe four, depending on, I guess, the vehicle, but would be turned over for a new squad. So with what I'm hearing you say, less wear and tear, mileage being lower, fuel consumption one way or the other, but, are we, does it look like we're going to experience that? Are we going to get 4 years, 5 years?
Yes, it does look like the longevity. I'm sorry, yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
That's fine.
It does appear that the longevity of the squads is definitely going to last longer than what we're used to. I, again, was trying to get some of those numbers as well. What I can tell you right now, get back to the sheet here. So, on average, some of the fleet cars. So I talked to our sergeant, who's actually on vacation, who manages our squads, and I talked to him prior to him leaving last week, and he's seeing on average between like 20 and 25,000 miles being put on a take-home squad every year. I did some looking at some of our vehicles, some of our first F-150s, for example, and these were issued back in late 2019 versus 2020, early 2020, and like one squad here. This is from a report that was ran on July 1st. One of our first F-150s has 18,156 miles on it. Another one has 22,000 miles on it. Again, another, you know, 13,000, 24,000. Some of these are issued to supervisors, so they may not be on patrol and driving around as much as others. But yeah, we're definitely seeing that decrease in mileage. So, like I said, the longevity of the squad should last a lot longer.
Okay. Do you know if that's because it's an F-150? Is it because of the take-home policy?
I just think
combination of both.
I wouldn't so much. I honestly couldn't speak if it's just because it's an F-150. I think it's more so just the take-home squad policy, so they're not being driven as much.
Are they all F-150s on the take-home?
No, that we have a combination of Explorers and F-150s.
Okay. And
we have
another. And we're seeing the same mileage longevity on those as well.
I mean, on the Explorers?
If they're not supervisor vehicles, I understand it might not be the same.
Right, yeah, because obviously those guys work a lot overtime.
Right.
You know,
but if you're going 2019, so you're 2020, 2021, now we're into 2022. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
If you're looking at 20,000, 25,000 a year normally.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll expect hopefully 2 years or more out of those things, depending on how.
But we'll have to order now.
We got to order now if we want them in 2025.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're seeing now too when we're ordering our cars.
Okay, thank you.
I know that Chief Deputy Levin is not a fan of the 15 mile radius, but is that in place? And have you received any inquiries or how many deputies are outside of Kenosha County?
So I actually have that information for you. So out of the 63 issued vehicles that we have to deputies and patrol supervisors, 45 of those live within the county. 17 in total live outside of the county. 13 live in Racine, 1 lives in Walworth County, and 3 live in Illinois. What I actually did is I went through that list and I found their address and where they live in conjunction to the county line. And everyone was under that 15-mile radius from the from. I just did a Google search, you know, like their address to Kenosha County, and everybody was under that 15-mile radius.
Is that being advertised now?
That's in our. It's in their contract still. So
it's in the contract.
They're in negotiations now, correct? So they would have to update their contract as well.
Contractually, it's exactly.
Okay. All right.
The Deputy Sheriff's Association would have to agree to go beyond whatever they, you know, if you folks put in 15, they can say, okay, 15 is good, but if they say 10, it stays at 10.
Okay, and when will we know that?
Deputy Sheriff's Association contract negotiations probably back in swing September, October.
Okay. Right. And how many sheriff deputies are we down?
I don't believe we're down any right now. I think we actually just overhired 5.
Okay. So it's really KCDC that is short-staffed?
Correctional staff, correct.
Okay.
Yeah, truck services.
Yeah.
And the corrections. Not to kind of get off the take-home squad policy, but the overhires because we have retirements this year, correct?
Correct. Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Supervisor Bashaw, anything?
When did the policy initiate?
2018, I believe. Because I was on the
board. I honestly don't have that answer for you.
That's my first year. No, 2019, so it was 2018.
It probably would have been 2018 when we actually started.
18 for the 2019 year, yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Was I just don't have an exact date or time or when that actually was implemented.
I didn't need it that close. Do you know where the policy initiated? Was it this sheriff's policy or where from the board? Where did it matriculate up from?
That was before my time, sir, and I honestly don't.
Wasn't that part of the negotiations?
That came up through Sheriff.
Yeah.
When the
Sheriff Beth asked about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came through Sheriff.
Because I'm sure, we had to make some adjustments to policy once this all was done.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you're from?
It's from over in there.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else?
Thank you. That was very helpful.
I'm not done.
Oh my God!
I have curiosity. How are vehicles assigned? Is it general pool, whatever's available when an officer comes on, or do they get them by hierarchy? Because some are newer, some are older. Electric are coming, I understand, or hybrids.
Yeah. To be honest with you, it's on a case-by-case basis. Sometimes it can be a brand new deputy gets a brand new car. Sometimes playing musical cars. Once we have probationary deputies that are coming off probation. Or actually after their phase 4 and go to phase 5, which is when they're by themselves, they're issued a squad. Priority sometimes is given, like if we have a brand new squad, we'll kind of pitch it out there to say, is there anybody that wants to upgrade their squad? And so if there's somebody that has a squad that has, 50, 60,000 miles on it, and they've been around for 7, 8, 9 years, sometimes that seniority can be given the new squad to them. Obviously, they've shown responsibility over several years, and then that squad that they turned in would be given to the new employee. That's not to say that always happens, because sometimes there are circumstances where we have new cars. I mean, it's just sometimes it's more trouble than it's worth doing the music cars thing and
keeping track of
exactly
who has it, why, and when. And who to yell at that had it before you?
Yeah, exactly.
Why'd you put shrimp shells under the seat? What's your problem?
Yeah.
Are all of them equipped equally, or are some specifically tasked for different operations?
No, they're all general. They're all pretty much equipped the same. The only
cameras.
Yes, is the ALPR cameras, the automatic license plate readers. Okay. I believe we have 14 of those right now. Don't quote me on that, but I believe that's a fairly
patrol.
Accurate. Yes, for patrol. So other than that, they're all equipped
that. Does that work with them just going down the road, it's reading plates?
Yep, they just, so basically it pulls information from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation on vehicles called a hot list. So anything that's been entered on that hot list as stolen, or even expired plates, suspended plates, and that thing is just constantly running. It's quite an awesome system. Sergeant Chase Forrester, he kind of mans up the system, but we've been able to put a plate in there that we were looking for, and it will actually bring up, hey, we ran this plate 2 months ago, and it's got a picture of it. It shows where it was ran, the GPS coordinates where it was ran. I mean, so it's a pretty cool system.
And that's working all the time, deputies driving on the road?
Yes.
Yeah, it just gives it a little chime or something.
Yep. So as they're driving, you know, just give a little chime that, hey, I just read this plate and it's either stolen or suspended or, yeah. So it's kind of up to the deputy just to make sure that they have maintained that awareness of, oh, maybe that was a squad that I, or a car that I just, you know, passed. So let's go try to find it.
Right.
Supervisor Rodriguez asked about, I'll call it demerit points, but does a car ever get taken from somebody? Yeah.
It could happen. Again, that's going to be the supervisor, the patrol supervisor. If the deputy does anything wrong, it could be a form of discipline. Obviously, with the take-home squad program, the expectation is that they are taking these squads home. So if somebody was found to not be taking their squad home, or maybe they did something else where they shouldn't have been done, like part of the policy also is you're not supposed to be using your take-home squad for non-department functions.
Picking up groceries on the way home.
Picking up groceries, going to other, you know, jobs or other security stuff that they're working. So it has happened in the past, and obviously it was dealt with.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Are we really strict on that? I'm just thinking, deputy gets off work, they gotta pick up their kid. I mean, is it?
That would be a case-by-case basis. So, I mean, obviously, if a deputy had to do that, it would be his or her responsibility to notify their supervisor to see if that would be a possibility.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say that would be like a case-by-case basis. But we are pretty strict on the fact that if we find out that somebody's using the department vehicle for non-department related functions, there is going to be action taken.
Right.
So the wiggle room would be based off of previously approval.
Exactly.
That's it.
Anything else, anybody? Mm-hmm.
Good to know.
Supervisor, any questions? Youth and governance, Zach?
No questions?
That's it.
They want to come.
Alrighty, so we did, we already noticed our agenda item that we talked about, so it's on the agenda. I think we're just, if you
take off.
Do you need a motion?
I think we're going to table it. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, somebody wants to make a motion.
Motion to defer to the next meeting.
Okay, so that'll be at the first meeting in August. Yeah.
Second.
Okay. Any issues with that?
Mm-mm. No issues whatsoever.
Because we didn't get a chance to review it.
I would like at that time more detail around the program.
Right, and I'm sure we'll have that. There'll be more
info. Yeah.
Come on. Can you just briefly, since we're here and it kind of got brought to the attention, very briefly what it's about. You don't have to dive deep, but
sure.
We'll hear from you next week.
After last night, I don't know if my brain's here right now.
Oh, I'll make
it keep it simple.
My brain wasn't there last night.
You need more than 4 hours of sleep.
I agree, wholeheartedly. NAFCARE is a company that we contract with for the healthcare for our detention facilities. They have realized that they need more personnel to manage our inmate population in the fashion that they're supposed to be doing and to provide the appropriate care for our folks. With that being said, they deemed that they needed three more FTEs, a nurse and two LPNs. With that comes a price tag, an extra $30,000. They asked for that starting July 1st. I said, we're not going to have this starting July 1st. A, I need some time to investigate, look into it. Is it feasible? Does it make sense? They deferred it to September 1st. It is feasible. It does make sense. If we were to say, you know what, you guys are way too expensive, we're moving on to somebody else. I think our next closest bidder, per the RFP process, was about $1.2 million ahead of this one.
Wow.
So the difference of, you know, $30,000 a month times 12, in essence, is $360,000. Our next contender would have been, I think, Advanced Healthcare or some other healthcare provider, and it was substantially higher. All right. So moving forward, we needed to find, as of September 1st, where we're going to get this funding. We've located a source of funding within the Sheriff's Department that is accessible to the Sheriff. That we do have the dollars and cents in there to get us between September and December. And then, as I spoke earlier with Mr. Nordigan, that we will address it for the budget for 2023 and not, you know, deal with general fund monies and, you know, putting undue pressure on taxpayers towards the middle of the year or towards the end of the year. Let's just take care from the Sheriff's Department standpoint, dollars and cents now, and then we'll deal with it after the fact.
Yeah, are you done?
Yeah, go ahead.
So when I was on Human Services, Human Services, the health department was staffed up with RPNs, LPNs, and because of COVID. That is dramatically backed off. Isn't there any way that we can work with our health department to transfer some staffing here or to have scheduled staff here?
I think that it's certainly a valid point. I know the sheriff has been in contact with Dr. Freyheit as it relates to possibly looking at county health taking over. It's a huge endeavor. I mean, it's beyond.
But they have staffed up.
They do have staff, right? But at this point, to get those staff today, tomorrow, next week, may be a challenge. We could certainly look at it as much as the contracted healthcare provider, NAFCARE, has an out clause, so do we. So we need to sit down and vet out how we can move forward in a responsible financial fashion.
Well, I'm just thinking too that we still need to get our second half of the ARPA money, mm-hmm. and a lot of the staff in Human Services was actually, if I recall, they were actually budgeted through ARPA money for additional staff. And I would see with COVID going down that additional staff, there's no reason that we couldn't use ARPA funds for here, especially since you have active COVID cases at this facility. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something really to look at and to talk about so that we're not getting into another contract when I think we have an abundance of staff in the health department right now.
Yeah, I don't disagree, and it's certainly worth the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But at least at this point, to get us over this gap,
sure.
We have to engage. And if it, like I said, between September and December, we're talking $120,000. In the grand scheme of things, mm-hmm. it's significant, but we need to be there. We have to take care of these folks.
Sure.
We can't mess around too much.
What does our contract look like? I mean, are we on a month to month with these with this provider? Or?
Yes, we pay month to month. I mean, but I think it's a five-year contract that we just entered in last year. I mean, we're fresh with these folks.
And they're already telling us we need.
They underestimated significantly the ability to hire staff at whatever rate they're paying. I think they were thinking more down south wages, whatever those wages are. But between Chicago and Milwaukee, they are having a really difficult time obtaining good, solid healthcare workers.
It's no different than what Brookside is struggling with.
I think it's everywhere. But mm-hmm. like I said, if we could do in-house, homegrown stuff, I'm all for it.
Right.
But I think at the end of the day, it's about 25, 26 FTEs, full-time FTEs, with a lot of mental health, doctors, dentists, pharmacy, everything. I mean, it's literally a small hospital.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to continue this discussion anymore.
I just one question. Going to use, is there any special training that, or is it just?
Yeah, if you want to answer that, and then we'll leave this for next month.
Go ahead, the question, sir.
Would there be different training that if we were to use our people for what we have to fill this for?
I don't know what that specific training, I think two of these LPNs are overnight nurses right here at the detention facility.
So there's nothing in the detention world that they would have to be trained.
I don't know if they have anything specific detention wise, but
that's all I'm asking.
What that would be.
Okay.
That's good stuff to research.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You asked your question, so I just want to make a positioning statement real quick. We're not at this point discussing canceling a contract. We're just asking questions. This is public record, so nobody misconstrues it. We have a service provider. We're actively working with them. We're looking at ways to help to augment that provider.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well done. Yes, sir. Right.
No, and that wasn't my question. I guess.
No, it wasn't your question, but if I were listening, that would be mine.
Right. Yeah. We'll save the rest of this discussion for next month. I would ask, though, whether it's yourself or staff, if we could, I have questions about the contract now. I mean, if we just entered a five-year contract, now they're demanding more money.
Switch.
that's a concern for me.
Correct.
So if we can have somebody from legal either provide you with information or come and speak on that.
On the contract language itself?
Yeah. Underbid and relocate. Okay. So we'd like to see the contract. I'd also like them to, you or someone, to explore a hybrid approach. I agree, we have county resources. Could we do a hybrid approach rather than dumping more into them if their contract's limited? So explore other options.
Absolutely.
So, okay, any other business? I don't have anything other than next month we'll do the downtown facility tour. Captain Staples, same time, 6 o'clock, or do you want to start a little bit earlier?
It's basically up to you. If you want to start on time, maybe 4:06 or 5:45.
Okay.
I think it's a smaller facility, but...
Now, are we doing it? So when I spoke with Sheriff Beth, he wanted to kind of start it, booking and work your way up. Okay, where should we meet you at the BSB lobby?
BSB lobby, and we'll take care of it from there.
Okay, our meeting will be then normal location across the street in the committee room. Can you add the emergency command center to that tour? Same building, right?
No.
No, it's
the DOC is in the public safety.
Where are we going?
Pre-trial is behind. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll ask me. Do we want to do that same night? Do we can make that September? I just know that the closer we get to the fall, we have the budget.
Let's just do it, but take some time later and organize the meeting location, timing, finalize it.
I almost think we should do both.
Okay. Let's plan on then. We'll plan on 5 o'clock for the tour start. We'll meet at the PSB lobby. And then I'll leave it up to you two where we want to start, whether it's emergency command or the jail. And does that work with you, Chief Deputy?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've got anything else?
Thank you. Oh,
yeah. Not that.
Unfortunately.
Motion to adjourn?
I think we need to have a vote on tabling until.
You need a motion to table.
Oh, the deferral?
Yeah, the deferral.
Oh, that's right.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Motion to adjourn by Supervisor Belsky.
Second
by Supervisor Bashaw. All those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Can I see you for a minute and you?
Not like last night.
Can I see you?